July 1st, 2007, you're listening to Nowhere a Mulberry, episode 82!
Card in here, huh? All right, fellas, here's how it works. $1 to look at it, $2 to touch it, $3 to watch me touch it.
That's a nice looking man.
Back the fuck up, Antonio! Mind it!
My apologies. $5 to touch it while I touch my toes, $6 to touch it while I touch your toe. Hey, look, fellas, I wish I could give you a deal here, but my pimp's a real ball-like, you know what I mean? So it's $10 for a BJ, $12 for an HJ, $15 for a ZJ.
What's a ZJ?
If you have to ask, big man, you can't afford it.
I got $4.
We didn't come here for a BJ or a ZJ or any kind of a J.
Move along, then. I got a mouth to feed.
Mr. Guest. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Unless you want to open a front door for me.
But you have me at a loss. You know my name, but who are you? Just another American who saw too many movies as a child. Another orphan of a bankrupt culture who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo, Marshall Dillon.
I was always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually. I really like those sequin shirts.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
Still the cowboy, Mr. McLean. Americans all alike. Well, this time John Wayne does not walk off into the sunset with Grace Kelly.
This Gary Cooper, asshole.
Enough jokes.
You made a pretty good cowboy yourself, Hans.
Oh, yes. What was it you said to me before? Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Look at yourself. Cut it out! Cut it out! Cut it out! The hell's the matter with you? Stupid! We're all very different people. We're not Watusi. We're not Spartans. We're Americans. With a capital A, huh? You know what that means? Do you? That means that our forefathers were kicked out of every decent country in the world. We are the wretched refuse. We're the underdog. We're mutts. But there's no animal that's more faithful, that's more loyal, more lovable than the mutt. So we're all dog faces. We're all very, very different. But there is one thing that we all have in common. We were all stupid enough to enlist in the army. We're mutants. There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us. But we're American soldiers. We've been kicking ass for 200 years. We're 10-1. All we have to do is to be the great American fighting soldier that is inside each one of us. Now do what I do and say what I say and make me proud. Fall in?
Yeah!
Two.
Less than an hour. Aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interests. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July, and you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Everybody, it's me, the J-Strom. We're back, everybody. Episode 82 of Nowhere in Mulberry. We took a month off, and we're back. In case you've never listened to our show before, we were gone for a month. Okay, you're caught up. Hey, we're back. All right. How is it going, baby? Okay. Hey, to my left.
The laughter.
To my left here, I have the pop culture zealot, Steven. I forgot who you were for a second. Hey, Steven, how you doing?
It's been so long. Wow.
I haven't seen you since that fateful day in space. How are you doing, sir?
Doing just fine. I'm feeling better. Back to my old self.
Yes, we put your brain back in your body. Hey, how's this month been? No show?
Other than work, it's been okay. Work has been a little tough.
So you didn't vacation?
Unfortunately,
Maybe Bill did. Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian, is here. How you doing, Bill?
I am lovely.
How are? Do you feel refreshed? 1 month without the show.
Don't I sound refreshed?
You do.
I am so refreshed.
And clean.
Clean, yes. I'm
glistening.
Freaky clean.
Yes, we missed you.
I'm pretty good. I've had a nice, relaxing month.
Sleeping in on Saturdays, not having to wake up.
You never had to mention once anything about a DVD in that month.
No, I didn't.
You have no idea what DVDs are
out now. I didn't buy any in the past month because I didn't know what was coming out.
You didn't have Bill to tell you. It was ridiculous.
Well, I don't really buy DVDs anymore. It's for all you people that haven't entered the high-definition era.
Ah, yes. You don't purchase standard def DVDs anymore, is that right, Bill?
No, I don't. I wait for the high def release.
Now, what if it's something that you know will never be released, at least for a year? Will you go ahead? If it's like a big release, will you buy it?
Maybe. I might.
Like Lord of the Rings, you own all those? Or those came out a while ago before the high def stuff started.
I did purchase Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, okay.
You know, I liked it, and I don't see it. Well, actually, it's going to be on HD DVD in France here within the next month.
Oh, really?
Or so. Yeah.
That's one thing. You know, we're going to talk about HD DVD in a minute after we talk to Vanessa, the Mulberry Newswoman. How you doing, Vanessa?
I'm doing well. How are you?
You know, I wanted to say something interesting, Vanessa. Before the show, I was calling you to see if you were ready to do the show, that we're indeed back and doing a show. And I reach Vanessa's voicemail, and it's like, "Hi, I'm not here right now.
Whatever.
Please leave your name and number."
Did she write it down and have to read it?
Yeah, so it's a reading voice.
So everyone, call Vanessa's voicemail. You'll hear her sexy voice.
Yeah, why don't you give out my phone number while I'm at it?
Call 1-900-VANESSA.
I'll fulfill your fantasies.
This is Vanessa. You've reached Party Talk.
$1.99 a minute.
Do you like video games as much as I do?
We'll talk about video games.
We'll talk about Solid Snake, if you know what I mean.
Naughty video game talk.
Oh, are you a filthy, dirty cyborg? Huh? What? For dirty, filthy cyborgs, dial 1. Now, guys, here's the thing. This month, my daughter started pre-K school. That was a little stressful. For a week, my wife had to go out of state, so I was a single parent for a week. Not really relaxing, kind of stressful.
Oh, it wasn't all bad.
No. In hindsight, it wasn't that bad. But I'm saying, like, in those things, I actually needed the show in those times. The show is my anchor. I need it to ground me, to get me... While we're doing the show, I forget about everything else. We can just talk about fun stuff. I needed that. So, actually, one thing came in and swooped me up and saved me, kind of like King Kong, Fay Wray, if you will, Steven, for lack
Video
of a
games.
Better...
analogy.
Yeah, King Kong swoops up Godzuki.
So, am I your
Mothra?
King Kong?
Scrappy Doo.
You mean Godzilla swoops up Godzilla?
Yeah, whatever.
Godzilla.
I don't know if King Kong ever swooped up Godzilla.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, wait, there was that Mecha Godzilla.
Yeah,
swoops
that.
Up R2-D2.
Mothra.
Yeah, I have no idea what I'm talking about anymore. But here's the thing. Bill, he sends me an HD DVD player.
What?
Hey.
Get out of here.
I guess, Bill, you upgraded to the newer generation, second gen, what is it, third gen?
Second gen, yeah.
Second gen. Sends me his old one. So all of a sudden, I'm like, hey, let me hook this bad boy up. Bill sends me the Road Warrior in HD, V for Vendetta, Batman Begins.
Could you tell a really big difference? I mean...
Yes. Without a doubt.
I haven't showed curious. You yet, Steven. You've seen some of Beer Fest, but the one thing that I think strikes you more than anything when you watch HD DVD. Now, keep in mind, I've watched HBO HD and all that. The thing that doesn't come through that does in the next gen format. I've only seen HD DVD. I've seen Blu-ray in the store, but the color quality you don't get other than this. Do you know what I mean, Bill?
Exactly what you mean.
Like, I pop in Batman Begins, it just, the clarity of the color, the skin tones, everything, it's just friggin', it's Whoa. Just incredible. And you pop in the same movie on standard def, you don't get that quality and color. There's also, muted. If it's a really good movie like Batman Begins where the picture quality is excellent, it looks three-dimensional. Like, when you see someone up close in something like a panoramic view or something, the city, it looks 3D, three-dimensional. Yeah. It's incredible. But also they have these new lossless sound codec, Bill.
Oh, yeah, baby.
True HD. You run it through the analog outs of the player, the 5.1 analog, into the receiver. That's what's funny. You use this archaic, now it's ancient inputs, Bill. The first DVD players had Dolby Digital decoders, and the receivers didn't. So you had to plug the... It's an RCA plug that says left, right, center, rear right, rear left, and you'd had to plug those individually into your receiver to get Dolby 5.1.
Well, it's just like you just said. This is, it's kind of putting us back to those times where the decoder's built into the player.
Right. So, the receiver can't decode this new kind of sound, so the player does, and it sends the You know, the only thing my receiver does is control the volume now.
and it's the amp for the speakers.
Right, right. But
so it doesn't have optical out, the new?
It does, but
it's down-resed.
Yeah, it's down-resed. It can't... The optical isn't enough signal to get the true HD.
I gotcha.
The optical can only handle 1,536 kilobytes a second. Now, to give you an idea, the uncompressed sound, like a true HD track on Batman Begins, that is sending over 4 megabits a second. So it's basically, you know, more than quadrupled the sound.
And immediately you think, some people are like, what? You can't tell the difference. But someone like me, what am I going to do? I'm going to get the standard def DVD, stick that in. I'm telling you, you can hear a difference. The one thing that seems, regular DVDs have great sound. I'm not, not knocking Dolby Digital or DTS or whatever. But this, there's something about the clarity. There's something about the sound quality, the crispness, the hearing the bow hit the cello. I'm telling you, I'm not insane. I can hear it. Now, besides that, Bill, thank you for sending me that, by the way. It really helped.
Hey, if you ever have anything else, send it this way.
It helped in the dark times.
Well, you know, you are my goodwill.
I thought you were going to say concubine.
No, you don't, like, you don't give me sexual favors, thank God.
I'm glad that's funny to everyone else.
I love canned laughter. It makes me feel so good.
No,
but I just felt that you should benefit. You finally, after ribbing you for God knows 2-3 years about getting a high def television, you finally got one of those, and I just wanted you to see what true high definition looks like.
I know, and that's the funny thing. You're telling me you got to get that. I'm like, no, I can watch it on HBO, man. It's cool.
No, really, you need it.
But now that I've seen the difference, I've seen Batman cropped on HBO, where when you have a movie in 2:3:8 aspect ratio or 2:4:4:0 and it's that big mega wide screen like the 70mm HBO, they don't want you to have black bars when you watch a movie, so they zoom in or the bars are cropped off, so even though you're watching high def, you're watching zoomed in high def and it looks horrible.
Well, yeah, HBO, Kurt, they're for the common consumer, they don't know any better.
Well, yeah, they have. Remember when regular DVD, everyone's like, "What are these black bars? I don't like that." So then this guy's like, "Well, I'm going to get a widescreen TV, and I won't have to see the black bars anymore." But you get a movie like Batman Begins that's in the
different
wide
type of scopes,
and he's like, "I still got the black bars." And it's like, dude, if you don't want the black bars, go get, some
screen
Renee Zellweger movie or something.
down with love, man.
Get down with love, and you'll have no black bars. But you're watching it in the scope. Just think of this, like anyone who's watching or listening to this show right now, and you don't like the black bars. I don't think anyone's like that who's listening. But remember, you're watching it the way the director intended you to watch it. Just think of that. That's the way they want you to see it. Like, for instance, the Road Warrior, Bill. Mm-hmm. I saw it once in the theater when I was a kid with my dad. But then I watched it a million times on cable and VHS. And that entire time I'm watching it in what? Full screen. Cropped. Full screen.
Cuts off 40% of the picture.
Yeah, and this is a wide scope movie. So then it comes out on DVD, what, in like 1999 or something?
Yeah, it was one of the first crappy releases.
And it's real grainy, it's crappy, the sound's real tinny sounding, and that's all I had. So it's the closest I could get to the theatrical version of it. But then I pop in this HD DVD of this, and it's completely different. It's like, it made me feel like even though I'd watched the movie like 500 times, I felt like I've only seen it twice now. Once in the theater when I first saw it, and now this time. Because there's stuff I've seen. I have the movie, the sounds, everything's memorized in my head. So when I hear it, I know it. But you see Max standing there, and there's a fly like flying around his face that I've never... I've got my finger...
He's actually demonstrating the fly.
Yeah, and
just
I hit the mic.
Hit your microphone.
Yeah. So anyway, a fly is flying around Max's face, and I'm like, I've never seen that fly before in the million times I've seen the movie. And you notice through the whole film, there's flies buzzing around people's faces because they're in the friggin' outback of Australia filming this.
Sweating like dogs.
Well, that's the funny thing. This is what I never knew, Steven. They filmed the movie in winter. They said it was freezing. So actually... George Miller said between takes, Max or Mel Gibson's got a blanket and he's like shivering, and then they go action and it's like hot as hell, we're in the desert. Isn't that hilarious? And I never knew that.
Isn't that brand new commentary they made specifically for the high def release incredible?
It's awesome. It's one of the best.
It's one of the best commentaries I've heard.
And all I got to say is this, there's no urgency. I mean, I needed HDTV. I needed HDTV because I love film. And there's a lot of people out there that love film. But I got to tell you, it's okay to wait a year where you can afford it. Because I got to tell you this, when you finally do get it, HDTV or Blu-ray, maybe by then Road Warrior will be in the bargain bin, Bill, $6.99 at Walmart.
Boo-ray.
Yeah.
Boo.
But I'm saying the longer you wait, you know, prices will go down,
sure,
hopefully.
Sure.
And there'll
the
be
better
this,
the technology gets.
Yeah, and there'll be this library of awesome film. So let's go ahead and move on here. HD DVD rocks. Okay, that's what we're trying to tell you. We've missed some things. Not doing the show, there's things we would have talked about every week that we haven't been able to talk about. One of them is the big Sopranos series finale, Bill.
Don't stop believing.
Yeah. Apparently, the entire world was upset by this, Bill. I mean, just the balance of humanity was shaken. Because
You could feel it. There was a disturbance in the force.
Yes, there was. And here's the thing.
Millions of people cried out at once saying, my cable went out.
Right, right. Here's the thing. If you haven't watched The Sopranos and you wish to... just skip the next 2 minutes, okay?
Yeah.
Spoiler. Okay, here we go. Spoiler time. Steven, you need to take your headphones off?
No, I'm good.
You're cool. Okay.
I know everything.
Basically, the way The Sopranos ends, they're in a diner. You see Meadow, Tony's daughter, parking the car. They're all going to eat. They're eating onion rings. There's kind of this tension building. There's a guy at the bar, and you're not understanding, what is this guy doing? Is he about to whack Tony? He's going to come up and shoot him in the head. And you see Meadow, she opens the door, and you hear ding of the front door of the diner. And all of a sudden, Tony looks up, the whole screen goes black. And what is there, 30 seconds of blackness, Bill?
No, 10 seconds.
10 seconds, and then...
it feels like forever.
Closing credits. And the first thing I thought was, what the... And I remember I was just like, turning to my wife and I go, what the hell? And we were just sitting there. And I was like, okay, I'm going to rewind it on TiVo. And I watched it again. David Chase, you did it, man. You found a way to end this to just blow everyone away. Because think about this, Bill. Like, Bill, you were very upset after this, weren't you?
The night of it, I was. I was.
Either Tony could have died, he could have gone into witness relocation, his son could have killed him. There's all the speculation of how it would end. No one speculated that it would just go black suddenly and there'd be no explanation of anything.
Ending.
And everyone was trying to figure out, like, what the hell does this mean? Is Tony dead? What does it mean? And people were, like, people were making up stuff. Well, hey, everyone in the diner has been in the show sometime.
That was cracking me up.
Tony is in purgatory, much like the people in Lost, right? But here's what I kept thinking about, because in the first episode of this season, he's sitting there, Tony's talking to Bobby Bacala, and they're talking about, what do you think it's like to get whacked? And he goes, just black. You just see black.
It just goes black all of a sudden.
And that's
you
what I
started see it coming.
I started thinking about it. I'm like, wait a second. Because they showed Phil Leotardo, the guy we hate, Bill, finally gets whacked in this. But he gets whacked from the side of the head. He has no idea it's coming. Just boom, he's dead. And I was thinking, what David Chase did is he ended the series the way it ends for all of the guys who are in that lifestyle, is what I thought he was telling us. He ended it like it will eventually for Tony. I don't think Tony died, but I think he's telling us this is how it's going to end for him, for everybody else, for Polly. You'll never see it coming, and it goes black, and you never know how anything turned out because you're dead. And I felt that David Chase just basically whacked us. You may see no more because you're dead. Boom. Black. That's what I thought he was telling us. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought it was really brilliant the way he did that.
Oh, it absolutely was.
But people are like, no, just stop. But is Tony dead? What happened?
But they want an answer.
Did he get arrested? It's like, no, that's not the point. No, I invested years in this show.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's
and you're like, so did I.
David Chase didn't invest years in that show. He didn't give up, a million things just to
how
do that
many times? Every episode of that show ends on an ambiguous note with somebody looking towards the ocean or the sky, or it's just kind of a. I mean, I was real excited, like, what's going to happen in the final episode? But also, in the same way, I'm kind of glad he ended it in a way that I couldn't predict.
Absolutely.
That was cool. This is old news now, by the way, but we're just catching up on the show.
When it was over, my father and I looked at each other like, what the hell? My dad was like, I'll never watch another thing David Chase ever puts out again. I feel ripped off.
Well, it was definitely an unconventional way of ending something.
And then we started talking about it, and we slept on it, and we woke up the next day, and, we were sitting at breakfast, and we both just kind of went, that was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. You think back to, it's all there. David Chase put it in there for us to discover, and it was genius. Like you said, I don't necessarily know if, with your interpretation, how he whacked us or something. But I agree that that's how it ends for all of them, whether it ended for Tony just then or it ends for Tony in the future.
Right.
That's
and
it.
See, that I was thinking, if that's how it ended for Tony and he just got shot in the head, I really think he would have showed it from his point of view, seeing Meadow come in the door.
No, I don't think he would have done that, though.
Instead of us, we looked at Tony look up. That's why I feel like we just got shot in the back of the head.
Well, it's possible. There's going to be a lot of interpretations of it until David Chase says what it is.
Oh, he never will
say
though.
What it is.
Yeah, he never will. But I just think of the allegory of what they said earlier is like, think of the way Phil Leotardo, he was talking to his wife, black, never saw anymore. He doesn't know he got shot. And that was great. He gets shot in the head. He falls on the ground. His grandkids are in baby's seats. And she's like, oh, my God, Phil. And she gets out of the car. His wife, she runs around. The car's not in park. It starts rolling. And all of a sudden, the car rolls over, crushes his skull.
And the sound like a pop of a crane.
And you see these dudes standing there. And this dude goes, oh, man. And you see this little kid go, bleh, and like vomits. And they show this dude who's like deformed. And he's got really like a baby arm or something. He's like, oh, man, that's tough or something. It was like such a weird, disturbing scene.
It sounds like almost David Lynchian, doesn't it?
It was very David Lynchian. Especially the guy with the deformed arm. He's like, oh, man, that's dumb.
It's a racer head.
But we've been waiting the entire run of the show for that guy to get killed, and they did kill him in an awesome way, I thought.
Yeah, it really kind of satisfied everything. Like, you prick, there you go. Dead and then deader.
Well, here's another thing, guys. Paris was jailed and freed in the time we were off from the show. How do you guys feel about this? Yeah, she got sent home and then she had to go back the next day.
Yeah, that's when we were when we left was she had just gotten released.
You know what? You know what was great about that is, you know, you hear all this speculation about, oh, she's a changed girl. You know, prison really put her life into perspective. And then she gets out and goes on Larry King, and then he asks her, like, what did you learn? And she says something like, you know, I have a really nice voice.
Oh, no, I heard that. She says, you know what I learned? I learned that when I'm scared or nervous, I speak with a high voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, she learned a lot.
Yeah, it's just like she hasn't changed.
She's
an
idiot.
She took the Bible in with her, and she's already out, you know, swimming in pools and hotels and partying.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is I saw a thing that said, oh, she dyed her hair black. That's why what she meant by she's going to change as soon as she gets out of jail.
Yeah, and then all the news reports were, and Paris Hilton was released wearing a green jacket and an understated pair of jeans. And
right.
Who cares?
Did you guys see on, what was it, MSNBC or CNN or something, where the lady was like, well, today our news, and she goes, I'm not going to read that. No. And she takes the news story and tears it up. She goes, it's today in Iraq. You know, why aren't we talking about Iraq or something like that? Why are we talking about Paris Hilton as the lead in story? I mean, seriously, the worst thing about that, when you see Larry King talk to her, that she's got nothing to say. She's not an intelligent person. She's an heiress. She's a rich.
She's got nothing to say. Exactly. Nothing.
I don't know if she's gone to school or anything, but obviously she's not interested in reading books.
She's probably barely even graduated high school.
She's going to BJ's to graduate.
She went to pre-K, just like your daughter.
Yeah, that was the extent of it. So I'm going to pull my daughter out of pre-K, and she'll pretty much have the same education as Paris.
What did you learn by being
jailed?
She's been around you, so she'll still be smarter.
But the thing is, why are you interviewing somebody who has nothing to say, no depth, nothing of interest,
no character?
You know, he's like, how did they treat you while you're in there? Do we care how they treated her?
That's Paris, like, how did they treat you while you...
Paris, how do you feel about the war in Iraq?
A war?
Where's Iraq?
Yeah, I like Iraq. It's hot.
Yeah, it's hot. Okay.
I don't know. I was in L.A. when she got released, so...
Steven, did you wait outside the prison?
No, I didn't.
Or was it in county jail?
Steven wanted to get a look at Paris. Paris, I'm over here!
Unfortunately, I had to work, so I couldn't go down there and make fun of anyone.
Damn!
Although I did have a celebrity sighting, but it was here in Dallas.
So go ahead and tell everyone, Steven.
It was hilarious.
Steven sends me this text message, and I just start laughing.
I was laughing because there's a couple of black guys in line, and all of a sudden you see them, oh, dude, no, look who it is. Ah, oh, dude. I'm like going, I look up ahead of me, like two people ahead of me, and there's Tone Loc. I'm just like, is he really still a celebrity? Has he done anything?
Burgers.
Yo, dog, look, it's Tone Loc.
So, anyways, that's my...
Was he like, hey, Steven, what's going on?
He actually, he did say, hey, what's up to me.
That's
I started laughing.
Yo, man, what you been doing? You working at a grocery store or something?
You know,
I just got back from Austin. I was doing some music down there.
So what are you, friggin' Wolfman Jack?
I saw Young MC. Oh yeah. Man, it's Young MC.
She said hello, dressed in yellow.
Come sit next to me, you fine fellow.
So who's the biggest celebrity you guys have ever either seen or met?
I'm going to say Adam West.
I had dinner with...
Are you talking about the most impressive? Yeah, I'd say Adam West for me, too.
I've had dinner with both Randy Quaid and Woody Harrelson at the same time at a Mexican restaurant in Pittsburgh while they were filming Kingpin.
And I talked to Bill Clinton.
And then you...
So that cancels all you out.
He's not a celebrity,
Vanessa,
though.
Was that a BJ, a HJ, or a ZJ?
Actually, it was an HJ, so...
Steven, what is a ZJ, anyway?
I wish I knew.
You have to ask.
I can't afford it.
You can't afford it! Vanessa, have you seen Beer Fest yet? Otherwise, you wouldn't know what we're talking about. Okay. Okay, guys, here's some other interesting news, and it's very sad, but Joel Siegel, the movie reviewer for Good Morning America, has passed away.
Yeah, I didn't even know yet, Colton.
Wow. Foggy.
Well, wasn't he the... I wonder what Kevin Smith has to say. Because wasn't he the one that got up during Clerks 2 and said, I've never walked out of
Yeah, not only did Joel Siegel get up and leave during the movie, he said, in all my years of reviewing movies, I've never walked out as he's leaving.
I've never seen a donkey show on TV.
It's just like, wow, well, thanks a lot. So, hey guys, what do you say we get into entertainment? Let's do it. All right, everybody, we're back with entertainment. Wow, it's been a while, has it not?
And the summer is so entertaining.
And all I have to say is, yippee-ki-yay, mister.
I was just watching Die Hard.
You know, they might as well, in Live Free or Die Hard, said yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. Because
yippee-ki-yay, mother.
How has anybody seen it yet? Because I haven't heard
anything. Yes.
Everyone here has seen it.
We have all seen Live Free or Die Hard.
Free or fall asleep.
Oh, it's that bad, huh?
Now, okay, first let's hear what Bill has to say about Live Free or Die Hard.
Two words. Hated it.
Now say, okay, Bill, say two positive things and 10 negative things. Now, what is the good that you got out of it, and what's the bad?
Got popcorn?
Well, first off, it's not a Die Hard movie except for the name John McClane. It's just not.
Okay. No Argyle?
No Argyle.
No Reginald Vell Johnson.
Isn't that Justin Long guy in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and that would have been, I don't know. I've got a lot of problems with it. I can't even sum them up. I just did not like it. There are maybe one or two redeeming qualities in a couple of one-liners or a couple of cool deaths. But even the deaths were understated because it's PG-13 and they can't show blood. So it's just, right.
You know what's weird? They can't show blood, but they can show Bruce Willis covered
all cut
in blood.
Up and bloody. Yeah.
Well, he's the hero.
Well, you know, what is the main line? He says, yippee-ki-yay, mother. And he can't.
It's said in such a bad spot in the movie. It makes absolutely no sense.
Wouldn't you rather he said, yippee-ki-yay, Mother Hubbard?
Yeah.
No, Ron Hubbard.
It's set, in the first movie, it's set as he's like the cowboy, Roy Rogers, and he says, yippee-ki-yay, mother.
Right.
And, but there was nothing cowboyish about what he did.
Well, he says it in all three films and then this one. So
But it's in better environments.
Really make sense in the last two, you got to admit.
Well, I looked on IMDb, and people have been giving it's got a rating of 8.3 out of 10.
They're retarded.
In the last one, he shoots the little power cord to the helicopter, Jeremy Irons, and he goes, yippee-ki-yay, mother sucker, and he shoots it, and it goes in. So, it's just his line that he says. It doesn't work in any of the films, honestly. It's just a line he says.
It works in the first one.
It worked.
Well, I just watched the first one, and he goes, what is that you said? Yippee-ki-yay, mother fucker. And he goes, ha ha ha. And he does that fake laugh, and then they're all fake laughing or whatever. That's kind of cheesy, too. But still, it's awesome.
Yeah, but
it's a great movie.
But he does it so that he can blow them all away.
Right, right. But I would say it worked in the context of that film, and the rest of them, they just worked the line in because it's Die Hard.
It came like,
and in this one,
I'll be back.
Okay, I'll tell you this about Live Free or Die Hard. When the film was over, I was like, nah, that was fun. But I mean, it wasn't as good as Die Hard.
Die Hard is not supposed to be fun. The first movie was not fun. It was harrowing.
It was fun. It was entertaining.
It was a fun movie.
But it was like, whoa, it wasn't like, at the end of the original Die Hard, you don't go, oh boy, that was fun.
What a roller coaster, you guys, woo! Let's go to Bennigan's!
It really felt flat.
And they needed, the first two were set at Christmas time?
Yeah, okay, well, here's the thing, it really does bother me the movie wasn't rated R. I wanted the F word, and I wanted breasts, and I wanted blood, okay?
I wanted gratuitous F words.
Cussing, bombs, and boobs.
Well, I don't think there's ever been boobs in any of the dogs.
Yeah, the first one,
the
remember?
The first one has blatant...
You're right.
They're having
you're
sex
right.
on that table.
Well, okay, here's the thing. The action scenes I did enjoy. I enjoyed all of them except the jet one. And it would have been cool except it's too CGI. And I almost thought the stunts in the earlier parts of the movie don't look CGI, and they work out pretty good. So when they get to the CGI jet, it really didn't work for me at all. And I was telling Steven, I was like, they should have just cut that out of the movie because it doesn't fit with the rest of the film.
It doesn't work at all.
There's the cyber stuff doesn't bother me as much as it did in like Enemy of the State, and they're like, like the fake computer stuff, like in 24. This was okay; it didn't bother me. But here's what did bother me: the part where they go, "Let's reroute all the gas lines to the place," and I'm like, "Huh? How can you reroute gas?" And not only it, you reroute the gas, but it's on fire.
unless there are actual gas lines going there, how do you
But also, it's flaming gas.
It's flaming gas. It's an electrical station.
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. I didn't understand that at all, and I was even going, huh? I did like the Kevin Smith cameo. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I did. I thought that like brought the needed moment of levity that most Die Hard films have.
Some of us haven't seen it, by the way. So
I didn't mind the Justin Long part because I liked how he was kind of a wimpy guy.
I thought it would have had more weight if they would have kept it as his son.
You know what would have been really kind of funny if he'd have used Mac stuff.
Yeah, but it would
I would have cracked.
He did it when they first show him on the computer. It's a Mac.
Yeah.
But you know the moment's going to come where he has to pick up a gun and shoot somebody because he talks
about...
Do
you have an iPhone?
Yeah. He's like, look, I just got this.
He says,
I don't know if I could ever do what you do, and that's pick up a gun. And he goes, you know, you just do it. You got to do it. And there's nobody else there to do it. So John McClane
explains... Yeah, because there's nobody else there.
I'd like the moment where John McClane talks about, like, you know, what he's been doing. He says... You get a pat on the back and they say, good boy, John, and that's pretty much all you get.
Yeah, I did like that.
And he goes, why do you keep doing this? And he goes, well, who else is going to do it? And it kind of reminded me of like Jack Bauer on 24 where he does it. He wants to quit. He wants to take a year off, but he can't because there's no one else to do it.
John McClane is the original Jack Bauer.
And what I love about John McClane also is that he takes – while something's happening that's ridiculous, he'll take a moment to say it, like, what the hell are you doing? This is insane. And he does it anyway because there's no one else. There's a part, Bill, where we're talking about the free-running stunts. I don't know if anyone's seen Casino Royale. There's a part at the beginning where James Bond's chasing the dude, and he's jumping around like a monkey, and he's doing all sorts of crazy.
B-13.
Yeah, and that guy's in here, and he's like, hold still, you little hamster. And the guy's like, bam, 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 like jumping around. And when that guy dies, he goes, whoa! I like that. John McClane was like, whoa, dude! You know, the way the guy dies.
That bugged me because there was nothing. He fell into a freaking grating machine.
Well, he was chopped to pieces.
Oh, yeah, there'd be, you know, clean blades and everything whenever you get...
Well, it's rated PG-13. You can't scare the kids.
Freaking kids.
Now, here's the thing, though, Bill. I read they filmed this for an R, and they chopped it down to PG-13. So you know what that means?
Unrated
DVD. Now, if this comes out unrated on Blu-ray, will you buy it? Or did you hate it enough not to own it?
I would seriously have to rent it.
He would Netflix it first.
Yeah, it would have to be a completely new movie for me to appreciate it. And it would still have that idea that this was a disaster for me in the theater.
If this would have been called something else, like they kept saying Fire Cell, if it was like Fire Cell starring Bruce Willis and he wasn't John McClane, would you have been like, oh, that was okay action movie, it wasn't bad?
Absolutely.
But since it's a Die Hard, it elevates it. This is more than just an action movie. It's like, you know, double the action movie. It's like insane action.
See, and I think everything else, all the other ones dealt around his family, too, more.
Yeah, except the third one. Third one, not really.
Yeah, the third one really had nothing to do with family.
The third one, they introduced the buddy, Samuel Jackson. And this one, they have, like, the almost son-like character. You were saying, Bill, that originally, in an early draft of the script, the Justin Long character was his son, but now they worked in his daughter and that kind of thing.
Should have left it as his son.
But, I mean, I kind of like the idea that his son wants to, you know, mack on his daughter. Mac. Hey, he's the Mac kid.
No.
Now here's a
Mac.
And by the way, did anybody here get an iPhone?
Yeah, right.
I picked one up. Cost me $650. I got the service, so I've spent $1,500, and my phone doesn't work, so I got to take it back to the store.
So stupid.
What
is wrong with people?
Yeah, it's like, do you honestly, if they have to get it the day it comes out, they stand in line. Are they need to get laid. I'm sorry.
I still love the lady here who locally stood. She didn't stand in line. She went and she got $100,000 cash. She went and bought
$100,000
in cash.
$100,000.
$100,000.
Are you sure not just $1,000?
No. She had $100,000. She went and gave the guy who was first in line $800 for his spot. She was going to buy out the store.
You're
you can only
kidding
buy
me
two.
No, the store that she went to was limited of one.
Did she have like a silver briefcase or something?
No, they showed her. She had them in bundles of hundreds in her hand.
What the why?
Well, then she's going to sell them on eBay.
She was going to sell them on eBay. Yeah,
good
exactly.
Lord.
She was going to sell them for $1,500, $2,000 a pop.
I don't understand. I mean, I'd rather have like just a phone. I mean, why? What? I don't. I guess if you're into Apple stuff, iPods and all that. But even why would you pay $600 for a phone? How many people? How many people
and
here have dropped
small penises?
And it's
how often?
Will you stop it, Vanessa?
They do.
Well, it's not. Why is it a guy thing? Women are.
Didn't you just hear me say it was a woman who did this?
They have a small strap on.
It has nothing to do with sex.
It all has
Vanessa,
to do with.
Okay, let me tell you right
it
now.
It has to do with two things: new technology. Somebody wants
right
to have the
okay
newest.
Can
and
I say wait? Can I just
thing
say this right now? That technology. It's not like a sports car. It has nothing to do with penis. It has nothing to do with sex.
Jesus Christ!
When you no wait. When you buy a PS3, it's about playing games. It's not about your penis size. Like, hey, I got to show everybody I got a PS3.
Wait, but. There's a difference when if I get a PS3,
now
I'm
talking
not
about butts?
Stand in line overnight. People stand.
No,
in line
I'm telling you, it's
the
because
snow
it's these people who have to have the latest technology.
They have to one up everybody penis else. It has nothing to do with penis.
Yeah, they're not buying
and
a Ferrari Testarossa or something.
Who likes to one up? Men like to do that. Women too
Vanessa,
sometimes, but it's
more
mainly men.
Women in those lines than men.
Yeah.
They want the latest sexy technology. Now,
it's so easy to get you guys wrong.
Now, what I'm trying to say
well, no,
here,
if you didn't pay attention to it, why, I mean, how can you say that? That's what I'm saying.
What I'm trying to say is why would you buy a $600 phone and how many people every day drop their phone on pavement?
Exactly.
I wouldn't
or
buy anything.
Scratch it.
They even, Bill, I showed you this video on YouTube where the guy is like, hey, I just got it. He opens a box and it flings out and it's a cement.
Yeah, it pops out like that sucker was rocket propelled.
He's just like, oh crap! And he picks it up and he's trying to see if it's still.
Yeah, but then you see all these posts online and like, well, that shows you how truly rugged the Apple iPhone is.
It's great. Okay, now, okay, Die Hard. I'm going to say I liked it enough to buy the DVD.
I had fun. I thought it was a good movie.
Now, Bill, enjoyable. This was just a warm up, though, for the Transformers next week, baby. July 4th.
Transformers, more than meets the eye.
Will you see that in the theater, Bill?
Are you kidding me? Of course I will. I'll probably travel into Columbus so I can see it on the Crosswoods Ultra screen, which is 70 feet wide.
Wow.
I just want to sit there and take it all in, baby. Give me that off to the sky.
I go pay.
Open the pod
oh, is that
bay
another,
doors.
Is that another gay comment?
Yeah.
Michael Bay?
Oh, okay. I thought you said it sounds gay.
No, I love Transformers, but Michael Bay, it's just...
You know what? I'm going to reserve judgment until I see it.
You know, okay.
We wouldn't care if it was Britt Ratner.
So here's... Bill, you and I have talked about this before on the show where I was like, I don't know, Bill, it's Michael Bay. I've seen clips of it. It looks pretty damn awesome.
Yeah, it looks badass.
I saw a clip of Shia LaBeouf. He was on Letterman, and they showed a clip of him talking to like Megatron. Megatron's like threatening him on a building. I was like, that looks pretty badass. The way that they have him talking.
Are you sure it was Megatron?
I'm not sure if it was Megatron. It didn't look like a jet-type character. And he had teeth. You could see the detail in his mouth. He had metal teeth, and I thought that was awesome.
So he's not going to be a gun, right?
Oh,
well, you know, here's the thing. I don't
seriously,
mind
how
that.
Are you, How are you going to try to make Megatron a gun in a film?
Well, the thing, in the cartoon, Megatron's a gun. He transforms into a handgun, and he shrinks down, and Soundwave catches him to shoot.
Yeah.
It made no sense. Why does he turn into a little tiny gun?
Well, he would turn into a gun, and he would turn into a cannon.
But it just, it doesn't make any sense. Why would he turn into a gun? He's this big threatening guy. It should be better if he turns into like a tank with a giant turret or
giant laser.
Yeah.
But the toy was awesome, remember?
Well, that's what the Hasbro's toys.
Yeah, that it was to sell toys, but they made a cool cartoon. How often does that happen? They put a tie-in of a cartoon and it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever, never.
So next week we're all going to talk about how we felt about the Transformers More Than Meets the Eye. Let's go ahead and get into what's on our TiVo. I know we don't have a lot of shows to talk about. Have you guys been watching TV?
Lots of different shows just to watch them.
Now let's go ahead and get into that. Now, before we get into some shows that we're going to talk about, we've got some shows that we love that are coming back. One of those, Bill, Big Brother, will be back next week. And they have a theme.
All new people? Or?
It's all new people, no one we've ever seen before.
Oh, okay.
And there's a theme. God. There's a twist. It's sworn enemies.
Oh, is it? I thought it was Alice in Wonderland.
So it's like, think of this, like the Batman is on Big Brother, and they're like, well, guess what? You're rooming with the Joker. He's like, ah, damn it.
And not only the Joker, it's Harvey Dent, your old friend.
Two-Face. And that guy is like going between both of them. He goes like, Batman, he's an asshole. And he goes back, and the Joker. And he's like, the guy's so Two-Faced.
Jeez.
Okay.
Wow.
Speaking of superheroes.
What was the Val Kilmer for Batman with Tommy Lee Jones?
Oh, God, that was bad. Okay, speaking of superheroes, who wants to be a superhero's back? Yep. Oh, hell yeah. I don't know
when
the exact.
This?
I saw a commercial just the other day. It's coming back. Can't wait. The superheroes all look ridiculous.
Oh, man.
Nothing as good as Fat Mama.
I didn't get to pay enough attention to it, but I saw that it was coming back sometime this month, and I'm very excited.
What was the one guy's
July 26th.
Name that would always say things like, what is this treachery?
Oh, a Tyveculus.
Tyveculus.
By the source of light! I love that guy. I wish. But also, guys, Eureka is coming back July 10th, and that's a great,
I love that show.
Great
that
sci-fi
is just-
show.
Just a fun show to watch.
It is. If you guys haven't watched Eureka, it's not like a episodic type. It's an episodic show, but it's not a show like Lost where you have to watch every episode.
Right.
It's just individual storylines. Just tune in. It's a lot of fun.
It's a good show.
It's about a guy who, it's a town filled with scientists where they're working on futuristic science and stuff. They're
and
all,
it's just local.
It's like a think tank.
Local sheriff gets transferred there.
Yeah, think of it as like Mayberry, but they're all geniuses and working on top secret science fiction stuff. I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about, but it's a great show, Steven.
You had it right. That's good.
Yeah.
Good description.
Good synopsis. Okay, guys. Hey, Paula. Paula Abdul has her own reality show. You all been watching it?
I had no idea
it was on.
They
kind of.
I don't know about you guys, but everyone thinks she's insane, right, or on drugs. But they on the first episode, they did a spin control. Like, this is why she acts the way she does. And here's what they say.
I have to maintain this same level of energy for each reporter and make it feel like they're interviewing me for the first time.
Hi, guys. I love you. I miss you, my family.
I miss you.
First of all, where are you?
I don't know. So many stars that come out of the show.
Paula's doing probably her 40th interview right now, and her answers are getting more and more erratic.
I'm a dancer. I'm doing little dance moves.
It really has to be from lack of sleep, but this is the worst time for it to catch up with her.
You're not getting out of me. Bribery, nothing. Hey, you know what? Any publicity is good publicity. You gotta learn it.
That's what the saying was, Vanessa.
And embrace it for me. It was like, ooh, I finally have edge. Yeah, woo.
What?
She finally has edge.
So basically what they're saying there is Paula's not crazy. She's just tired from doing so much publicity.
And she's
what
edgy
not
now.
Showing is her going into the bathroom and downing a bottle of vodka with a couple of values.
Mouthwash.
Yeah. Now, guys, I've been wondering what Katie Holmes is doing lately. You know, she's had Baby Suri. Is she going back to work? I'm really involved in her career. And I saw this interview, and I thought we should all check it out.
How did you know it was the right time to go back to work?
I really enjoyed the time that I had to be at home and be just a mom. Now I'm excited to be back to work. And I always planned on it. And I feel really lucky because Suri has come and, you know, my trailer is a nursery. And that's really lucky.
The Messiah.
13 months?
Yeah, 13 months.
Walking?
Running. Running, talking.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Waving.
Yeah. You mean Scientological babies can run too?
So you guys think you'll have more kids?
Your father wants to put her up to an eating machine.
We are having the best time.
So they're going to have more children, so more test tube children?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do they use Tom Cruise's
in vitro fertilization
baby batter for this? Or?
No.
Hey, have you guys been watching Celebrity Fit Club with Screech?
I can tell you.
What? Nice segue.
Celebrity Fit Club with Screech, guys. Here's the thing.
Isn't it over?
Remember a while back? Yeah, it's catching up. We haven't done the show. But a while back, Screech did the Save My House, I'll Send You a T-shirt.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, the guy does stand up. He's not. But it turns out Screech is an asshole.
He is.
And he's on the show with DeBrat, you know, the black rap chick or whatever. He doesn't like her.
What? 20 years ago?
Yeah, some country and western guy. He can't stand him. So he starts making fun of them. He makes a little video that offends everyone on the show. And then I love this. You got to hear this. He goes, hey, it's getting a little threatening in here. I will be on the phone to my lawyer in no time. You know, and just listen to the guy's such an asshole. Let's check it out.
Oh, Brad, you know, what do you think Dustin's doing right now? I don't know, man. I don't know, Cletus. I'll tell you what, don't get me talking about my daughter. My daughter.
Hey, let me finish. You asked me a question. Let me finish. Let me just finish real
Cletus,
quick.
It ain't worth it,
I'm not
going to
do nothing.
Richard,
I just want to talk.
It's going to become a hostile work environment. My lawyer is going to be on the phone immediately.
That wasn't funny.
It wasn't funny.
That wasn't funny.
On,
my
man.
Daughter has ain't never done anything.
You did it as a comedian thing, right?
Like, yeah.
It was supposed to be funny, but nobody's laughing. It's not funny, sweetheart.
And nothing I do here is going to be funny.
That's cool. We'll go back to the comedy spot.
Other people thought it was funny.
Your stupid ass thought it was funny.
I bust a cap in your ass, Screech.
Your stupid ass thought it was funny.
Look, the only thing he's ever done is be Screech.
Yeah. Where does that guy have the right to be a jerk, is what
and
I want to know.
He's never going to be anything more than Screech.
Well, the sad thing is, he's above all of them, and he's Screech, so what are they?
Yeah, I've never heard of Cletus.
or DeBrat.
Yeah, DeBrat, I think, sang one song 20 years ago.
Now, we've never heard of those people, but we have heard of Last Comic Standing. I don't know about you guys, but I perfected the segue while we were on break. good times. Yeah, thanks, Foggy.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of canned laughter in Last Comic Standing this year.
Let's check it out. There's this English guy. Is it like international comics this year?
Yes, they went to Australia, they went to London.
I couldn't understand a damn word the Australians were saying.
Now, what is this guy talking about? And I'm not sure it's funny because I'm from Texas and I'm stupid.
I get weird heckles, I get the bizarre ones. I got this one once, and if the guy thought it through, if he meant it ironically, it would have been brilliant, but he didn't. He was just an idiot. I genuinely once got heckled with the words, "That's racist, you Jewish." I'll tell you what the joke was, because it was a joke about New Orleans. Given that the floods happen somewhere called New Orleans, what are they going to call the place when it's rebuilt? You know, we live in a very commercial society. Maybe they should go the washing powder route and call it New Improved Orleans Ultra. Whiter than ever.
Oh.
That's a lovely reaction. That's a boo, then a laugh. Then a little clap. It's like my sex life.
So
yeah, I like him.
What do you guys think about Last Comic Standing this season?
I'm excited about it because it's new talent.
Yeah, I've actually seen one of the comics live.
In
Yeah, the Billy D. Washington.
Is there any?
Yeah, he was good. I liked him.
Is there anyone with a disease or anything?
I haven't seen anybody with any kind of malady. Nothing so far.
That means that we might have a normal winter this year.
Will they bring back Josh? Hey, has anyone heard of Josh Blue since he won?
Who?
No.
Is he working on a sitcom based around his?
Actually, Bravo. He's working here at my house. He's my new maid.
Oh, okay. Does anyone who wins on the show do anything?
Oh, you mean like that fan?
Even Jay Moore has disappeared.
That fan had a cameo.
No, I'm sorry. Jay Moore is on The Ghost Whisperer. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Regular pay on that show.
I heard he's an a-hole in person.
He is an a-hole.
Yeah, he cheats on his... At the time, his
taxes.
His girlfriend was pregnant.
Oh, his girlfriend.
Yeah, he cheated on his girlfriend with that Nikki Cox from...
On many more...
So would I.
Who wouldn't? But I wouldn't have nailed her after Bobcat Goldthwait got her, though.
Hello, Nikki! I like you very much!
It's not me!
Bobcat Goldthwait! Now, Bill, would you have sex with her after Eddie Deason, his sloppy seconds?
Oh, yeah. Eddie Deason's the man. I would feel honored.
Wow.
Okay, well, that's Last Comic Standing. We'll keep an eye on that. But also Hell's Kitchen. You guys love that show. And
you rotten donkey!
I've saved a couple of things that's happened on the show since we haven't been doing the show. And first of all, there's this Samoan dude with a cowboy hat or something.
Asian.
Yeah.
Asian cowboy.
Samoan.
And the guy seems to cry a lot or something. Let's check this out.
Aaron, how are you feeling?
Sorry. I can't believe I'm cracking up right now.
Keep it together. Stop crying.
K-I-T.
Stop. Stop.
Keep it together.
Do you want to go and lie down in the dorm?
No, sir. I'm fine. I'm fine, Chef. I apologize. I'm fine.
And I'm busy right now. I'll be back in 5, gentlemen.
You've gone white.
Chef, I don't want to quit because of me. I don't want to quit because of any stuff.
Hey.
I don't want to quit because of the guys that have been trying so hard.
Relax. I love the guy's like, the guy goes,
like, actually, the chef
out.
Is starting to feel sorry for him.
But I love the guy goes, okay, you guys will do that, and I'll be right back. And he goes in the back, he's like,
Aaron, I'm sorry, but could you repeat yourself? You don't.
It's just like, hey, guys, I know we're doing the show, but let me pause for a second. And you hear, where'd Jason go? Just sobbing in the back
pressure.
Room.
I'm cracking up.
But also, there's this incident with dry chicken. And I don't even know what the hell's going on, but I love Gordon grabs the plate out of the guy's hand and just throws it. And by the way, he says you.
A million times.
Yeah, let's check it out.
Is that dry?
No, chef.
It looks dry from here. Just touch that. That's the skimmer, man.
Yeah, look, yes, chef. Look. Yes, chef. Did that honestly just happen? What just happened?
That's it. That's dry.
Yes, chef.
You. Hey, you, come here. You, come here. Hey, you, come here, you. Where's that cowboy? Aaron! Now you've got dry chicken. You donkey. You can't even do a risotto. You know, you can't even fillet a fish. You. Hop out of here. Get out. Get out! The girls will finish the meal service. Get out!
So, what do you guys think of Hell's Kitchen this season?
Well, see, it's always entertaining.
I love it.
He's just terrific. I like his English shows much better. The F word.
What's the new show?
Kitchen Nightmares is a show that has been on for 3 seasons over in the UK.
I think I've seen it on BBC.
You may have, and now they're bringing it over here, and already. There's somebody pissed off about him coming in and pointing out exactly what's wrong with their restaurant, and he's trying to sue them.
Yeah, he said that Gordon Ramsay got him fired, and he creates the chaos for his show that it's fake, so he got fired for no reason.
That's BS, because that's his reputation before he even got on television.
You never know, Vanessa. You need to hear this guy's story before you make up your mind.
Okay.
you. Hey, you, come here. You, come here. Hey, you, come here, you. You. Off out of here. Get out. Get out!
I think that's much, much more communicative instead of saying every one of you. You know,
you. Yeah.
So that they know you're talking to them. You need to, you know.
He doesn't want to take the time to bother learning their names yet.
Is there anyone who's lived up to K-Grease from last season?
Hot dogs are banging.
Yeah, hot dogs are slamming.
Slamming, banging.
That's the way I rock them.
That's the way I rock them.
I said it's so white. So
I missed this episode this week where he tested their taste buds with food
they'll show it again on Monday. They'll show the last week's first and then the new one afterwards.
Oh, hot dogs are slamming.
Well, like this year, they got some woman who worked in a Waffle House.
She shined during the breakfast service. She knew how to make those omelets.
She's in a Waffle House.
Yes.
She knows how to cook breakfast. Congratulations.
Yeah, like it's hard.
Now cook foie gras. What? What's foie gras?
Yeah, what foie is gras? That?
The view of your crack to table 7 is not appealing.
Oh, sorry, Gordon.
I don't know if you were going to say anything about this, but... you know how each night it's like, okay, there's nothing to watch. So I'm going to give that show
She's
Pirate
got a
Master.
Rat.
Pirate
oh,
Master.
Oh, God. I tried
You've
to watch
seen
that.
This?
Arrgh, Pirate Master. They need a host like that, don't they?
They're going to have...
This week on Pirate Master.
Have Steve the Pirate from Dodgeball.
Vanessa, Vanessa, right away I got to tell you why this show sucks. No plank for them to walk.
Yeah, no. That would have been a better idea.
Why don't they have a plank that whenever someone gets kicked off the show, they walk the plank? That would have been the best way.
Brilliant.
Why don't they have that? That's why the show is unwatchable.
Things they have to do to go find the treasure is not exciting. Yeah, it's. I mean, at least with Survivor, it's more, I guess, put together.
It's a bad show.
Arrgh!
Walk the plank.
And it would be better if they walk the plank into, like, some crocodiles or something. They were actually ripped apart.
Yeah, yes. Some piranha.
What I think is funny about these shows, and it's like every show, you notice when Big Brother comes on, there's always people who just want to feel it out. Survivor, they just want to feel it out. There's always a guy who's like, all right, hey, man, I'm forming a team here. Are you with me, huh? Come on, we got to start right now. We got to get rid of it. It's us against them. And there's always a guy, he's really gung-ho. He's ready to form an alliance. He's ready to take down everybody. And it's the first friggin' day there. And he's always like the first or second guy kicked off the show. Yeah. It's he's trying way too hard. That happens every time. Was there a guy on Pirate Master who did that?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was, yes.
He's like,
what's his name?
Hey, you scallywag! We need to get rid of these!
The bad sideburns. He's the one who's...
Savvy!
People are paying him to because he's got influence, but it's just he's like, I'm gonna, I'll help them out as long as it's lucrative for me. It's like, dude, you're an idiot because they're trying to get rid of this one girl, Nessa, because she's the flirt, you know, tries to get guys to help her out because she's sexy or something.
Was she correct?
Do well, they she's got big old boobies?
Do they have sexy women on the show? Or are you allowed to just pillage? Boobie.
They have...
Wouldn't that be funny if they just like, let's go into Malibu! And they're like, burn down half of Malibu, and they're raping and pillaging.
I would watch that.
I would watch that.
You see this guy at some yacht club? He's like, what are you doing here? You don't have memberships? And he's like, chops his head off.
They're filming it like at Treasure Island, Disneyland, and they escape out and start attacking other rides.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
And use the cannon on the ship? They need to use the cannon
relax,
on the ship.
Relax.
Blow up like a yacht or like a Carnival cruise line going by. That would be awesome.
That wouldn't be funny, though.
Lost for life.
It wasn't funny.
That wasn't funny. Oh, sorry.
What are your replacement shows? I mean, because, you know, like Pirate Master, I have for my third
season. Right now, I'm watching Big Love, Rescue Me, and I can't wait for Big Brother and Who Wants to Be a Superhero. And I'm watching some other stuff, but it doesn't really matter.
Right now, the only show I watch religiously is Kyle XY. And that's a great show.
Well, I watch, of course, Hell's Kitchen.
Everyone should watch Kyle XY.
That was a good one, Bill.
It's kind of what Smallville should be.
Clark didn't have a belly button.
And
Kyle XY is good. Stop it.
What about you, Steven? What are you watching?
Probably what, you know, just like Hell's Kitchen is all I'm really waiting for.
I watch Intervention every Friday. Intervention's a show.
Christ.
I'm checking out Gomer Pyle and Laverne and Shirley reruns.
Sweet.
Hey, when are they bringing back the real Gilligan's Island? What a stupid show.
I forgot about The Age of Love also.
Oh, God, dude, you're watching that?
No.
What is it?
The 40s plus.
But what do they say? It's the kittens versus the
Cougars.
The Cougars is usually women in their middle ages.
What I would have loved, they talk to the guy and go, what do you think? It's 20-year-olds versus 40. He's like...
He was so turned off at first when they... Because at first it was just the women in their 40s. And he was kind of like,
Yeah, Bill, have you watched... Basically, it's 20-year-old hot pieces of tail versus 30-year-olds
to 40. No, I'm going to say 40 plus.
There's like 35.
So funny is this guy they have on the show, he's a tennis star, this Philippoussis. And he has screwed so many women, like anywhere from Anna Kournikova to, you know, just like some really hot girls.
He's just knee-deep.
Yeah, he is knee-deep.
But the cougars are actually very beautiful.
They bring out these middle-aged women, and every one of them that comes up to him, it's like, do you know how old I am? I'm 40. And he's just like, you can see on his eyes, like, what the f***?
Did you see the 46-year-old woman? She looked awesome. And
well, here's the thing. Do you guys think it's right to do this without him
hilarious.
Knowing? No, wait. Shouldn't they let him know?
No.
Or let them know? And it's
Here
so stupid.
Go,
well, that's the game. I mean, it's
these
like...
These shows are so stupid. I'm not watching this.
You know, they should have called it, like, the like science of menopause.
They don't have menopause in their 40s.
I know!
Hey, I mean, it's just a date. They're not looking at marriage.
That's a lovely reaction.
Let's do the
news.
For me, and
yeah, woo.
Vanessa, hey, it's time to do the news again. What's going on in the world?
All right, in Chicago, stealing someone's heart can cost you. Just ask German Blinov, a Cook County. A Cook County jury ordered Blinov to shell out $4,802 last week after he was sued by a husband from Chicago suburb for stealing the affection of the man's wife. Arthur Friedman used a little-known state law to mount the legal attack against Blinov. The Alienation of Affection Law, one of eight across the country, lets spouses seek damage for the loss of love. But Natalie Friedman, the woman at the center of it all, claims her husband asked her to have sex with other men and women, including Blinov, to spice up their relationship. She supposedly began having feelings for Blinov, prompting her husband to file the lawsuit.
Is this guy's name Blinov?
Yes. German
Blinov. See, Blinov doesn't have an iPhone, so he has a large penis.
Yes, and... exactly. So she thought, well, he hit the G-spot.
Huh?
Nothing. I know guys don't know what that is.
I like dogs.
No one knows where the G-spot is.
It's a myth.
Know.
Move on.
Well, you guys can't find it. This guy ruined my life.
I know
life.
Exactly where it is.
It's right next to the lost city of Zinj. For you Congo fans out there.
it's near Zion. You need to make a left at Albuquerque.
This guy ruined my life. He backstabbed me, Arthur Friedman told the Chicago Sun-Times.
And he has an iPhone, damn it.
Yes, he has an iPhone. What he did was wrong, and I did what I had to do to get my point across. Blinov doesn't deny having a relationship with Natalie Friedman.
Is he this kind of magician? Like the amazing Blinov!
I know, German Blinov, what a name. Blinov doesn't deny having a relationship with Natalie Friedman while she was married, but he was surprised to learn he could actually get sued for it. His attorney also said...
I'm so sorry, Bill.
Natalie Friedman was unhappy with her marriage before the relationship started. German was not a pirate of her affections. Her affections were already adrift.
Pirate master!
What the plank?
Cut off his piece of deal and feed it to him.
So
he doesn't have an iPhone.
You a-holes who decide you want to, you know, sleep with a married man or woman, now you can get sued for it. In Berlin, two German teenagers robbed a girl but accidentally left their own pictures behind for police on a discarded mobile phone.
Whoops.
Man, are you whacked out.
After stealing a 15-year-old girl's shoes, money, and mobile phone, the two older girls gave her an old mobile phone. But the two 17-year-olds had forgotten the phone had their own pictures.
So they stole her iPhones?
Yes, which police published online Tuesday in an effort to find the culprits. The two muggers turned themselves in and almost simultaneously when the pictures appeared on the evening news. One girl was brought down by her father after he saw her on television.
He shot her?
Brought her down.
Yeah.
He brought her down. Brought her down to Chinatown.
Really?
He euthanized her. Today, the pictures were in the papers, so the father's phone has been ringing all day because everyone recognized them. Neither of the two had been in trouble with the law before. What
I
idiots.
Know that, bitch!
That's a clip there.
Oh, wait, guys, I gotta get my iPhone.
Oh, penis.
Why?
In Penhills, Pennsylvania, a man who thought the clerk at a fast food drive-thru was rude for not saying please and thank you punched her in the face.
We need to do that more often.
You're exactly right. These fries are cold, bitch!
Dwayne.
Where the hell's my secret sauce?
I always forget the napkins.
I asked for hot mustard!
You know what I get pissed? Arby's, no Arby's sauce. What's the point of eating the sandwich if there's no Arby's sauce?
I always get it without the sauce.
You could say the same thing for the horsey sauce.
You don't like it, the sauce?
I like it, the sauce.
Want me to punch inside your face for free?
Dwayne L. Williams, angered by what he felt was the clerk's rudeness.
No, it's Dwayne L. Williams Bleenoth the Third.
Yes. He walked into the store to complain just before 8 p.m. on Wednesday. Before the manager could meet with Williams, he walked back outside, pushed open the drive-thru window, and punched the 19-year-old woman in the face. She was bruised but not badly hurt. He didn't like the girl's attitude because she didn't say please and thank you. The store manager ran outside to get Williams' license plate number and called police. Williams, who's 46, told the police he had anger management issues, you think, when he turned himself in later that night. He was unable to tell the officer why he did it. He said he remembered opening the drive-thru window, but could not remember if he ever punched the victim or not. I guess he just had a bad day.
I don't know about you guys, but that bitch deserved it.
Well, they're just filing charges on him for a simple assault, disorderly conduct, and harassment.
I said I wanted Heinz ketchup, bitch!
You didn't ask me if I want this supersized!
I liked how you just changed ask to axe.
Yeah, I changed it mid-sentence. Oh, wait, no. Axe would be much more preferable during the sentence.
In New York, the percentage of Americans who consider children very important to a successful marriage has dropped sharply since 1990.
And not being used to my ability.
Now cite the sharing of household chores as pivotal. The Pew Research Center survey on marriage and parenting found that children had fallen to 8th out of 9th on a list of factors that people associate with successful marriages. Well behind sharing household chores, good housing, adequate income, happy sexual relationship, and faithfulness.
Thank God, maybe people finally realize.
I'm cracking up right now.
Kids don't save a marriage, people.
I know. People are more.
Listen, we hate each other, but let's stay together until the kids are older.
Yeah, so the kids can see this is what a marriage is supposed to be. In a 1990 World Value Survey, children ranked third in importance among the same items, with 65% saying children were very important to a good marriage.
You know what would save these families? High definition, HD.
I think you're an iPhone.
It brings happiness.
An iPhone.
They could all gather around the high def TV and use their iPhones and then look at their small genitalia.
That's right.
It's a crock of shit.
The survey also found that by a margin of nearly 3-1, Americans say the main purpose of getting married is to find mutual happiness and fulfillment.
Are you going to take all your clothes off and run around the pool,
bearing and
raising
of children. Well, the survey's findings.
I think that most people get married and they're not thinking about any of that.
That makes absolutely no sense to me. I thought you got married for a tax break.
Yeah, that tax break's so huge.
Tax break.
Well, according to this survey, 71% of Americans say the growth in births to unwed mothers is a big problem. About the same proportion, 69%, said a child needs both a mother and a father to grow up happily. Among the scores of questions in the survey, many touched on America's high rate of out-of-wedlock births and cohabitation outside of marriage. The survey noted that 37% of U.S. births in 2005 were to unmarried women.
Oh, my gosh.
You know that there are actually
suck?
teenage girls who believe that they cannot get pregnant the first time.
Yeah. Fire some hookers, get some coke.
Go crazy with
Well, among those who have ever been married, blacks, 38%.
Huh? Vanessa.
34% were more likely than Hispanics, 23%
you know,
to
Vanessa,
have been divorced.
Vanessa, you just need to slow down with the racism, okay?
It wasn't funny.
That wasn't funny.
Delving into one of the nation's most divisive social issues, the survey found that 57% of public opposes allowing gay and lesbians to marry.
You, come here. Cough out of there. Get out!
All right, and finally, Ubisoft's Mind Quiz was pulled from shelves today after a mother of a child with cerebral palsy complained about the game calling her a spastic when she didn't record well.
Oh my god!
Yeah. The mother, whose name was only given as Nicola, told the BBC that she had been playing the game as a way to pass the time during a recuperation period in the hospital following the birth of her second son, Austin. Nicola said that she had recently lost her first son, Logan, who suffered from cerebral palsy and had brain damage.
Oh, that's horrible.
Pneumonia. The woman said, "I thought it was absolutely appalling that a word like this should be used to describe someone who has not achieved very well. My daddy also has and he's in his mid-50s, and this is a word that really offends my dad. While the word isn't quite so incendiary in the United States, it is generally considered highly offensive in the UK. Ubisoft, excuse me, the publishers of the game confirmed to GameSpot that immediately after it was made aware of the complaint, production of Mind Quiz was stopped and the game was being pulled from the shelves.
Oh, we can't get it now?
No. What the hell's wrong with you?
Run out and buy your copy now before it gets off the show.
It's just, if you don't like it, don't buy the game. People drive me insane.
Well, basically, they were like, this will offend one person. And that one person played the game.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
So the game told the truth, and the person got angry at it.
Well, Manhunt 2 is also a victim of politics. That it might, they're talking about either pulling it from the shelves completely or toning it down.
Won't happen.
Vanessa, you play a lot of games. Have you ever played a game and you're like, this offends me. I'm not playing this anymore.
The only way you can get offended is if you allow it to offend you, and I don't care. If I don't like something, I don't play it.
Well, when you watch something and they make fun of retarded people, do you think it's funny, or are you like, that's kind of tacky, but whatever?
It depends, because sometimes it's a little too, over the line, and sometimes it's okay. But,
it also depends on when they have a large penis or not.
Yes, if they have an iPhone. But it's just one of those things where, there was a game on the Xbox when I was working there. It was called Cocteau Jojen. It was a fighting game.
Excuse me?
And it was pulled from the shelves, completely pulled, because there was one of the arenas where you fight what had stained glass windows, and they were doing chanting, like monk chanting, and someone
got
offended. That's
a great thing.
So they pulled it. It's gone. You can't get it anywhere.
Wow.
Yep.
Hey, what are you going to do? There's always somebody getting offended. You know what I'm saying?
It's the loud minority that ruins it for the quiet majority.
Hey, where'd you read that at?
Actually, I just made that up, but thank you.
You know, good publicity is
hey, you know what? Any publicity is good publicity. You got to learn to eat it up.
Thank you, Paula, you crazy bitch.
But it's just, it doesn't, this, our world is becoming so politically correct.
It's been that way.
Yes. It's getting worse.
No, it's the same.
It's an incredible story.
Remember, if you just acknowledge the way the world is, it's okay. But if you start talking about the way it's becoming, then you're paranoid and schizophrenic.
Yeah, true.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Please drive through and don't punch me in the face.
All right, Vanessa, what else you got?
That's all I've got.
Well, thank you, Vanessa. We're doing the news again. It's great. What do you think, Steven?
It's a great thing.
Come here, you idiot.
Whoa!
Hey.
Now, one thing we haven't done is DVDs, and I don't know about you, Steven, but not hearing this song has made my life less fulfilled. What do you say we do the DVDs, Bill?
Let's do some DVDs, you ding-dongers!
Ow! Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs!
You donkeys!
DVDs, HD, Blu-ray, and standard definition! DVDs!
Oh, Steven, you can do better than that. Come on. Ready? Go!
Ow! Ow!
Woohoo! Let's do some DVDs! DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, and standard definition! Arrgh, DVD! DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah, baby! The DVDs, I like DVDs, and I watch them.
Stop crying.
Stop!
Okay, sorry. All right, build the DVDs! What do we got this week in the DVDs?
All right, for Tuesday, July 3rd, on the day I'll be going to see Transformers. Okay, this is a really, really bad week for DVDs. Yeah.
Well, there's Reno 911 at least.
Yes!
I haven't seen the movie yet, but the movie's coming out, I think, Tuesday. I still want to see it.
I've heard it's funny. It looks funny on the commercial, Steven. What do you think? You going to pick it up?
It's a renter.
Yeah. At least someone's normal here.
Do you rent movies, Steven? Do you have a Blockbuster account? No. Netflix? No. So, are you going to watch the movie?
Steven's just using my DVD vernacular.
Yeah.
So you go over to a friend's house. No, a
if
family
somebody,
reunion. Your
if somebody
uncle's
rents
got
it.
You
somebody rents
it,
or you wait till it's on cable.
I got you. Okay.
Now you're trying to pass the buck.
Exactly.
I can say wait till it's on cable. That's just too long. Renter.
Right. Okay.
Easier
I got you.
Term.
But you know what, Steven? I'm glad you brought that to our attention.
And and yes, I did get that from Bill. It's a renter.
Good. Good.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay, so not a problem. Image Entertainment is releasing a Shaw Brothers series of DVDs.
We'd love to rub our genitals against your head.
Oh. You know, the...
It'd be asinine to think otherwise.
Image Entertainment is releasing a bunch of the Shaw Brothers...
who are...
Yeah, they're the production company that made a lot of those classic kung fu movies.
Oh, this is like Quentin Tarantino grew up on Shaw Brothers films, right?
Yeah. And one of the more popular ones are coming out, The Bells of Death.
Ooh, Deadly Bells.
Yes.
Let me show you. What is that? Ta-da!
Yep, that right there. That's the bell. So a guy's family's attacked, and then he gets pissed off and goes on a search to find the people that attacked him and kill
them.
They
always do that. They piss somebody off, and he knows karate, and he kicks everyone's ass.
Yep, he knows kung fu.
I'm itching a code red.
Next DVD is something that looked really interesting to me. It's a film called Earthstorm, and it has not only Stephen Baldwin, but Dirk Benedict.
Oh, hell yeah, the original Starbuck.
And
yeah.
The man of...
A massive asteroid impact on the moon begins causing storms on the Earth, and
how?
I guess
how would that cause storms on the Earth?
Because the moon causes
tidal waves.
Waves and stuff.
Well, see, now the moon's its structure is unstable. So a teensy
this is so nauseating.
with, get this, a demolitions expert played by Daniel Baldwin.
Sweet.
They have to find a solution to secure the moon.
Is he an ex-Navy SEAL?
I don't know what the hell he is. But Dirk Benedict's in it. So.
Bitch, I'm gonna punch your ass in your face!
Huh?
Sometimes people get really angry and need to punch asses through faces.
Oh, gotcha.
Speaking of Eureka, Eureka Season 1 is hitting DVD.
Ah, sweet! Is it HD, Blu-ray? Standard definition.
Yeah, it's standard definition, but it is anamorphic. With
uncomfortable,
Dolby
isn't it?
Does that mean it has animals that walk around and have hands?
Yes.
And white gloves?
It's anthropomorphic.
Oh, that anthropomorphic. Gotcha. Uh-huh. Steven, so, you okay there? You still with us? Steven's holding on.
Yeah, so if you want to catch up on the first season before you watch season two, you might want to rent it or pick it up.
Steven, will you be renting that?
To renter.
It is. Here's another renter. Ghoulies 4. Remember the Ghoulies films?
Ford!
Yes.
Ghoulies 4?
You know, the little ghoulies that come up through your toilet.
Ghoulies 4?
Yes. I love Ghoulies.
It wasn't funny.
That wasn't funny.
The funny thing about Ghoulies 2 is, I swear, literally, Ghoulies was at, I remember seeing it at Take It Home Video. This is before even Blockbuster. I swear a week later, Ghoulies 2 was there.
Yeah.
It's like they filmed them back to back, and then they have flashbacks to Ghoulies 1. It's
right.
Like so bad. It's dude, Ghoulies is flying off the shelves. We got a week. Let's make some Ghoulies 2.
The cover is the best, with the little green guy, in a toilet bowl.
Yeah. He's in a toilet. That's a remember. Hey, you guys remember that movie with the little creatures and the guys on the shitter?
And he eats his ass off? I remember when I was a little kid, I was deathly afraid a ghoulie was going to eat my ass off. Yeah.
That's a great thing. Steven!
Oh.
Jesus! A ghoulie's ass! I'm never going to the movies or the bathroom again!
It feels so good!
How could something so wrong feel so right?
I need to keep you in my toilet!
Yeah, you imprison a ghoulie in your toilet! I'm coming back in an hour! You're gonna do the same thing, you little ghoulie! The ghoulie's like, well, I was trying to scare the little guy, but he's too into this. Now I'm not sure I want to do this anymore. So that's what Ghoulies 4 is about, by the way. An imprisoned ghoulie in a toilet that's made too much.
Tossing salad.
He's a chef!
Oh,
he's a salad
God.
Chef.
It's called Ghoulies 4 Sexy Bidet.
Sexy.
I thought it was called The Salad Shooter.
Oh, nasty.
Thank you. Our studio audience, everybody. This is the best audience we've ever had. No, that wasn't a joke. Okay, whatever.
This one I picked out only because it has such a terrific title. It's called Orgasm Torture in Satan's Rape Clinic.
Huh?
Yes. I'm just going to repeat that.
That's a lovely reaction.
Yeah, so people remember this one. Orgasm Torture in Satan's Rape Clinic. Okay?
So
you might want to pick
it up. That wasn't funny.
Well, you might want to pick it up. Because
it's straight to video, isn't it?
It sounds terrific. Yoda loves rape.
Is this kind of like a sure?
The greatest sentence ever said on that show. Yoda loves rape.
I think that was the yogi being raped.
By Yoda?
Possibly.
Well, I'm thinking of another movie that involves Satan and rape. It's Rocket Man with Harlan Williams.
Awesome! Remastered!
Yes. This is like Satan raping your eyes.
Wow, man, that's heavy.
That is very deep.
Thanks, Jonathan.
This is a...
He's nice,
guys.
Let's do it.
Am I boring you?
No, sir.
Oh, okay.
what? Oh, sorry.
You're barking at the wrong dog, Jethro.
This is an incredibly clever catch line here. Blast off for outrageously funny space travel in this screwball comedy that spins wildly out of control.
Wow, that's they're overselling that, Flake.
Yeah.
What is the best way to take away someone's dignity?
I think the only
make him watch that movie.
Yeah, the only thing that truly saves this movie is William Sadler as the cynical, angry astronaut, mm-hmm. and Bo Bridges as the head of NASA.
Well, you know what saves the movie is the monkey.
The monkey, yeah, the monkey really does.
You know what could be better than a monkey, but a monkey in a spacesuit,
and a monkey that's
plays smarter than Harlan Williams.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes, it's great whenever they don't go into suspended animation and they end up eating all the food on the way to Mars.
You can cry your eyes out. I'd feel like a piece of garbage, like about that big, like a 5-cent recycling can. Huh? That's what you can do in Berkeley Cracktown.
What?
Berkeley Cracktown?
Huh? I thought we were talking about space.
I'm sorry to inform you, Vanessa, but Reno 911 comes out, I believe, next week.
Oh.
That's like a new movie and stuff.
And, you know, sadly, that's DVDs for this week.
Oh.
We ended on a high note with Rocket Man.
Yeah.
No, he's not joking, you guys. Bill, what was that, the last DVD of the week?
Yeah, that's it.
No, we're not joking, audience. No,
that's actually what's coming out this week. That's it.
They're not getting it, Bill. They don't understand. They think you're joking.
You know what? I guess we're just going to have to leave it at that because there's just nothing else to say.
Well, at least they love the show. They keep laughing.
Yeah. You know, hey, if it's what floats your boat, you don't doubt it.
Well, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs. It's great to be back on the show.
It truly is.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And
right now.
All right, everybody, that was episode 82 of Nowhere in Mulberry. No, seriously, what's wrong with our audience? Well, anyway, thanks for joining us this week. It was great to be back, and I can't wait for Big Brother and Who Wants to Be a Superhero, because that's one of the best produced shows on television, by the way, Steven. If you would like to call and leave us a voicemail, we haven't got one in a long time. Call 1-206-202-3491. Or if you would like to send us an email, send it to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also, a little announcement here. If you go to nowhereinmulberry.com and you click on the little link on the right that says our forum, it'll take you to the Hollywood Saloon forum. That's right, Bill. We've moved into the Hollywood Saloon, and we're actually occupying space on their forum. Why, you may ask? It's because our forum died.
Yeah, well, our forum on there is pretty much dead, too.
Well, that's because we've taken a month off. We did this.
Yeah, that's it.
It will pick up once our show is released, and everyone will go crazy, posting away.
You know, maybe people remember us.
Yeah, our audience is gone. We got to just earn a new audience.
Yep.
Oh, what am I kidding? They're right here!
By the way, I need to say happy birthday to Jim Lewis, otherwise known as Creto.
Creto! Hey, happy birthday,
happy
buddy!
Happy birthday to ya! Happy birthday to ya! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to ya! Happy birthday to ya! Happy birthday!
That's right. Happy birthday, Creto.
Poor little guys.
Yeah, exactly, Christopher. By the way, Christopher Moltisanti, he loves HD DVD.
Yes, he is a filmmaker, after all.
He loves to make films, in New York especially. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, anyway, thanks for joining us, guys, and we'll be back next week, and it'll be fantastic. And hey, go to HollywoodSaloon.com, check out that great podcast, go to the forum, and you'll find Mulberry there. We're in a section there at the bottom, and I think you'll love it. What do you think, Steven, about all that?
Sounds good.
Oh, that's Steven. What a card. Wow. It's like when Larry walks in on the Three's Company.
That's awesome.
Hey, Larry. Hey, look, everybody. It's Steven.
Hey.
Like Norm on Cheers.
Yeah.
It wasn't funny.
That wasn't funny.
F*** you.
Yeah.
Funny. Norm ruled.
Oh, Rich. My God. I'm going home. Will somebody call a cab?
Yes, we will call a cab. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week, right? Everyone's great. Everything's
Happy 4th
fantastic.
Of July.
Hey, Vanessa, don't forget to watch Pirate Master. Arr!
You come here. F*** off out of here. Get out. Get out.
Now this is podcasting.